air thunder. Air control to the world. Now I'm vision. I'm proving the city. Radioactive hole in the world. We don't know what their game is, what their name is. Unpronounceable. We don't know what they came for, but what they aim for is impossible.
Well, here we are, Bob. It's 4:34, and how do you feel about this time change?
Well, I think it only could be done after I became chairperson of the Secret Council of Ten, because all of the prophecies pointed to Wednesday. And now that I've been in control of the whole situation with anticipatory awareness, obviously, Mike, you can move on to pinker and greener pastures.
I guess so, yeah.
Combination of that is yellow, the other color for Bob.
Well, I mentioned it today that this is my third last show, and, you know, I guess you'll move on to some other programmer. You'll grab on to some other programmer like a leech and continue to do some genius
yeah.
stuff.
Definitely the work must go on. You know, that's 3 weeks. Today's the 6th.
Yeah.
The 13th. You're leaving on Hitler's birthday, April 20th.
It was planned that way, actually. Yeah.
Why? You identify with
we'll
him?
We'll talk about it later.
Oh, okay.
Actually, no, let's see now. There is something relevant to Hitler with regards to my birthday. I forget what it was. It was the invasion of one of those European countries.
Happened on your birthday?
Happened on my birthday, yeah. Yeah, July
probably,
16th.
Probably the Khazar regions.
Most likely, Bob. Most likely.
Khazar regions, you know what they are. All right, Mike, what you were saying, you're leaving, and the other theme was we've brought up already is that someone would be a victim of me very
mm-hmm.
soon. Well, the bids are already coming in. I wouldn't say that I'm going to.
Can we drop names?
Leech? No. I don't think I'm going to leech onto somebody. I think that the people, there are many programmers that want to be associated with me because the incredible slack that's come into your life since being associated with me, even to the point you never thought that you'd be leaving for such a glorious reason.
You know, if there could exist a before and after photograph, it would be remarkable, the difference before and after.
And also, this being very close to, isn't this near, when was the first day of spring? A little while ago, right? Well, we felt it yesterday. I'd say yesterday was the first day of spring.
March 21st officially, I guess.
The 20th, yeah.
Yeah.
I think...
Damn near a year.
For us,
yeah. A few months short.
Yeah, but when you think of yesterday's weather, mm-hmm. that felt like spring.
Yeah.
And don't you notice that my face has a rather luminous character today as a result of
it's
that?
It's hard to tell, actually. You're in the dark. I can't even see you.
Well, you're defeating the argument here. Of course you can tell.
But
luminosity permeates the darkness.
For the sake of argument.
All right, well, we're supposed to have some guests, but they haven't shown up. So I think if they do show up or we get some phone calls, let me... read the files I was supposed to release last week.
Okay.
What's that?
It was pink headline.
Oh. I think it was a glow.
All right.
Go ahead. You're celebrating your pinnacle of audio landscape work.
And Wall Street.
You want to play that?
Pink.
I'm not going to tolerate that while I'm reading secret files. How about a little wait after I do the file?
Tolerate
you replaying your greatest hit on Music Works, the tape Sonic Mappings, the 10th anniversary. Music Works magazine featured Mike and I. I tell you, there's a schedule for the release of these files, and they must be heard. Most pinks can't listen in multi-level, so we shouldn't have this stuff on.
Can we possibly cram it in, though, within a 3-week period?
I think you're doing yourself an injustice. This should be played over the next while, any this show or next show, properly, without me talking over it.
Yeah.
Because it is us being acknowledged by the bureaucratic oligarchs in the Canadian art world, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, but I just think that we have a lot of stuff to get through, and I'm just feeling very relaxed. Is it possible for us to get through the next 2 weeks? We have so much... material, Bobby, is awesome.
Yeah, you mean we're just going to have to overload it, but I insist that the child today, I try to. It's a little the way I said it. Perfect. I didn't know that. The luminosity coming through the sound of his voice looks like someone's here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everybody.
No, no questions.
Oh.
Hey, Milton. Hey! Get in here, Milton. Get in here. Milton Blake. Hey, come on in, Milton. Milton Blake. Look at that. Milton's afraid. Milton, get in here. You have no alibi. Get in here. Come on in, Milton. Milton, the real subject's funny. I want you to ask me a question. You see, you've never heard my show. You've just praised it. But you've never been able to...
How are you today, Bob?
Bob Dobbs, Bob Moore. So, Milton, you talked about Monty Perry's efforts to illuminate with luminosity the acoustic space in this area of the world, right? And I'm sure you've got a question after we talk privately.
Are you in here now?
Yeah, we're on the air right now. Can't you hear? We got the right thing in there?
Yeah.
Yeah, you can hear.
Oh, boy, I'm tired. I've been running along on the road, trying to get here in time to do a demo.
So you lost your slacker.
I don't even hear what you asked me. Believe me, that's how tired I am.
You can't hear me right now?
I can hear you now, but what was the question?
Well, you're speaking of being on the road. You lost your slack a few months ago, around Christmas.
I did?
Yeah, remember you were hijacked by the Pinks for economic reasons?
Yeah.
Remember that? Yeah.
Well,
how's that happen?
I forgot.
Oh, you mean are you still doing it?
Yeah.
Yeah, see, you're merged with the environment. Pinkism has sort of become part of your psychological assumption, right? And so you don't notice that you blast slack. That's why I felt a sense of urgency to bring him out here. Get him back on the proper path.
So this is a confessional of sorts, is it?
Yeah, I think, I don't know, have you been doing your show regularly? On Sunday?
Yes, but I haven't been hearing your show recently. I've been too busy. What's happening, Bob?
Well, I was elected, but we're talking about today. Mike is leaving. We're going to be moving to a new hour. I mean, you're welcome to have me on your show if you need that extra.
Where are you going, Dad?
Oh, I got a job, Milton. It's a day job, so I have to give up my show.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, it's what he's wanted. It's a good job.
It's a good job. Good move. But I'll miss this.
Are you giving up the show for a day job?
No one pays me here.
No. He's learned a new appreciation of daylight hours working with me. I mean, a lot of his traditional conceptual backlog has been pushed aside with these new insights he's gotten from me. So he can handle the daylight now. And especially with the white
money. Yeah.
Oh, look, there's even more. The fans are gathering.
Yeah.
So, Milton, what's your question? Well, what am I about?
I don't know.
I have questions.
Tell me something about Jesse Jackson.
Well, this is important. I have to lead up to Gary Hart being president and Dukakis as vice president because the conservative element in the Democratic Party, they need to be shaken up. So they're waking up Jesse to move it into a more leftist level, or what's appeared as leftist. So there'll be room in the identity crisis created by that within the party bureaucracy to bring Gary Hart back, who will be the white version of Jesse Jackson. So I think we can take solace in the great work that Jesse's doing. I don't know if he's a subgenius, but at least he's working for the subgenius, whether he knows it or not. All right, he does have a bit of a pink background if you listen to Skolnick and people knew him in Chicago. But, I mean, things have gotten so much worse in America since the Battle of Harvest Moon that even someone like Jesse can offer a glimmering of hope in a dark situation.
So the hope would be Gary Hart, eh?
Yeah, I think they compromise. Definitely better. See, Dukakis is controlled by the Bush machine. So if Bush or Dukakis gets in, it's the same team. And you don't want Bush in because he's supposed to be controlled, right?
Mm-hmm. But what about the Republican side?
The party itself?
Yeah, what about George himself?
Well, they've already done a lot of hijacking of the computers and in those voting myths that have been going on in these primaries. I mean, it's just been raw criminality what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
But it represents that desperate move by the old Bolsheviks in the Pentagon as we move into a new regime where I'm the chairperson of the Secret Council 10, which radiates a whole new light and positive feeling about the possibility of surviving death.
Do you see anything positive coming out of the general elections in the States? I think the presidential race, rather.
Yeah, I think that if Gary Hart wins, any Democrat wins versus George Bush, I think you'll have the opportunity for the younger pinks to move in and move out that old conceptual apparatus, which is totally irrelevant to the real problems in America the fact that it's going into captivity due to the Russians winning the Battle of the Harvest Moon. Right? So, I mean, if we persist in those old military concepts, then we're like adding leukemia to the fact we already got cancer. It's doubly fatal. But if we get rid of the leukemia, then we can handle and deal with the body politic and the cancer.
But will we be able to get rid of the cancer?
No, that's the problem. At best, we be as nice as possible to Gorbachev, personally and collectively, because he's dominating for the next 40 years, with a little interference from the Vatican and the rise of a united Europe. But I don't think they'll be able to handle the power of Gorbachev, which is post-revelations, post-biblical. This is a homeless situation due to the electric environment in the fourth world that even St. John did not predict in his revelations, and it's a map thereof of our fate. So I think that the hope comes, as Edgar Casey said, out of Russia. But not a Bolshevik-controlled Russia, a native group-controlled Russia, right? So there's even problems in the Vatican right now. They're trying to acquaint their clientele, their public, with the Eastern Orthodox Church and its ramifications. And this is due to the Dr. Beter's prediction that the Christian faction, native Christian faction, is taking over Russia. And they're not Christians linked to the Vatican, which is good for us, but there is a tendency of the Eastern Church to go into a kind of Gnosticism. So we, as our job, is to go into a post-Gnostic comprehensive situation, which includes you guys.
Are we anywhere close to that?
only if I stay on the air. You see, it's homeopathic. What I do may appear very tiny, but in the hologramic situation, any little element affects everything. And if I'm on the air electrically, then homeopathically, a little minute drop in the electric water by me radiates through the whole thing.
Right.
The whole sphere, and sphere is a new symbol, not pyramid.
Sphere. Right?
Sphere, not fear.
Sphere.
All right, you gotta go.
I have to go.
But
thanks for inviting me. I'll see to it that Mike stays.
That you're what?
Mike stays.
Oh, yeah, he's going to be maybe on another time. They really want his talents. He's very good at creating audio landscapes.
I'd keep you here.
Thanks for coming. I've always wanted to see
you. My pleasure.
You're some genius, Milton.
Okay.
Okay, take off. take it away.
Well, there it is. Take it. Milton Funk. Another programmer here at CKLA. You say swayed by your diatribes here, Bob?
Oh, yeah. He's been swayed by my personal charisma.
Mm-hmm.
He has met me, and we've talked many times in the hallways on Friday evenings. And as a result of that, he has had to go. Another visitor, Doug Nicholson.
Oh, good, Doug.
As a result of our personal talks, I even bought him a beer once.
And you don't even drink beer.
Yeah, that's right. I don't spend money.
No.
But
how do you do it?
It was a strange experience. It was like a visiting by the Axis, but... So Milton has always appreciated me just privately and has talked about me on his show, but himself has caught very rarely my information put out.
It's a pleasure to have him here in his docile tones. Mm-hmm. I think maybe since all these visitors are coming, we should just go to 6 tonight. What do you think?
Go to 6? Yeah.
Is that a problem with you?
No,
do you have anywhere to go?
I can go for 40 hours.
Yeah. We should do that, actually. So just go for 2 days.
A fundraiser. Do a personal fundraiser.
Yeah. Well,
should we bypass the tape? Let's forget the staying tape.
I don't care.
Yeah,
I'm very lethargic and I'm caring today. So let's welcome our new guest.
Yeah, Doug Nicholson, who was brought back as a kind of greatest hit because he performed so well. The subgenius adored his response to me several weeks ago as a fill-in for Mike. And he felt that our conversation was incomplete, so he has some questions.
Yeah. Well, let's just go.
Okay, Doug.
The mics are open.
I have to admit, though, I am losing a little bit of slack today. I've been teaching grade 4s, 5, and 6, and I tell you, if there was ever a test on your slack, it's your public school
education. That's a good time to hit them, though, Doug.
The school has even changed my first name. I'll have you know, my name is no longer Doug, it's Mr. Okay?
Well, it's interesting, we're having workies in here. Milton's been working away in the Pink Prism. He was before he came here, and you yourself were reporting. We're having actual.
But Bob, many of us do have to work. I think that's something you forget because you've never worked. And I think it's important.
It's
you don't pay rent. You don't have a house. You just
you know, you just don't have to work. You don't have to do anything. Those of us who haven't quite reached out of pinkdom into society.
Unless you don't have the passport to the ethereal plane and can't just go there.
Yeah.
No, it's not the rush hour to the ethereal plane is nothing.
But if you persist in this martyr complex, you forget what Oscar Wilde said, that the hardest thing to do of all is to do nothing. And that is the burden I've been carrying for decades. And so obviously I have been doing a lot. I'm the only one qualified to talk and hog the microphone like this.
But then I look at you, and whenever money, you know, comes into play, you are the one who always pulls out the wad of $100 bills. And I'm always intrigued by that. I'm quite impressed, I might add.
Well, I am very wealthy. I mean, Bob Dobbs is not a metaphor. It's the actual fact that I have millions in my bank account, and I have huge investments in gold, and I'm involved personally and related to very wealthy people. So that my experience in these matters is a justification for my slackness right now. It's just a shock. You see, it's forever a miracle that I'm on the stage here, the acoustic stage, and you people keep thinking it back into your context, like, you know, I got to go get a job. These things. Yeah, Doug.
Well, it wasn't so much that our conversation wasn't complete as I've always noted that with Bob and maybe a couple other people, once, you know, you make contact with them, because I had made contact with you for a while before we did the show, and all of a sudden it's an acceleration in things you start to see and things you start reading and the importance they take on, and Bob is a great catalyst. So after I'd done the show with Bob, I'd already bought this journal. It's a journal of art and text, and they have a new issue specifically on Art Brut, and the last chapter of it, I think it was by an Australian writer, and it deals mainly with Antonin Artaud and his years in the asylum, I believe, in Reims. Is it Reims? Is that how you'd say that, Paul?
Yeah, Reims and Reims of Walls.
Yes. And a word that came up that I had never seen before, and from the way the author described it, I thought it fit very well into how Bob talks. He seemed to be the world was...
Glossolalia.
Glossolalia. A new word
for
me.
Yeah.
And
well,
the writer said...
Did he define it so you knew how it referred to me?
Yeah, I knew how it referred to you. He's defined that, you know, as the prophetic voice as being rational and stating things, and the voice of
Glossolalia.
Glossolalia was more passionate and more poetic. And I thought Bob is passionate and poetic, but he also does have a ring of prophecy.
And rationality.
And rationality. Yeah. So sometimes, you know, some people hear Bob and they think, you know, there's another question I want to get to also. A lot of people think that Bob does narcotics or something to be able to say this thing. Now, we can talk about my new word, and we can talk about the use or non-use of narcotics and as it pertains to Bob and achieving slack.
No problem. Mike, do you know the term glossolalia? Have you ever...
It sounds like a Joycean word, but...
Very good, Mike. See, this is why you guys are subgenii, or potential subgenii, the closest we can get in this area, because I've been waiting for a long time for someone to ask me about glossolalia.
I'm listening. I'm just going to answer the phone.
Okay. I've been waiting for a chance to talk about glossolalia. I don't usually talk about things unless they're evoked by the word. The glossolalia is defined in the...
Hang up. Sorry.
Okay. Defined in the dictionary as the gift of speaking in tongues. Now, obviously, under the old regime of pink human nature and pink bodies, the tongue, the mouth, was the medium for that acoustic expression, right? Now, we've had many media since then, and the spoken language is just a tiny, puny element in our corporate mixed media, which I have said earlier, I call these technologies and their environments, I call them languages. So, glossolalia today is a key to what I'm doing as a collective mantra. Because all the electric media and the mechanical media they contain are interacting at a speed of light today and subsuming each other into becoming the character of information. So we definitely know, in a popular expression in the CN Tower is a symbol of this, that there's a global Tower of Babel or Babel going on, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now that babbling with all these environments, mixed corporate media, is to the user of this environment, and we're all users wherever we are on the planet, because the satellite is going around the planet and we're the content of it. We're all users of this Tower Babel, and it's a kind of glossolalia. It's a babbling in tongues. Now,
so is that that a lot of people are either frustrated or have symptoms of neuroses because they can't handle all the types of media that come into them, and it's their inability to comprehend glossolalia or to even want
right.
to
how
enter get, into it.
Yeah, how
or
to
they're
get,
scared. They're scared of speaking in tongues or thinking in tongues.
And the problem is, it's not tongues. It's like what part of the human apparatus is appropriate for responding to the collective glossolalia. That's the problem. And first off, you have to recognize that you have no body under the discarnate electric condition. But you can't visualize that. If you can learn how to use the integrative part of consciousness, which is the tactile sense, the one that interplays all the senses, acoustic, kinetic, kinesthetic, and visual, you can learn to mime the interplay of that, then you have maneuvered yourself into the middle of the glossolalia. And you know how to listen without hearing, you know how to see without seeing, and you know how to make and impose your pattern on top of that. But simple, rigid, bureaucratic imposition is not what I'm talking about. So you see, verbally, I cannot name the strategy, right? No word is adequate. All I can do is remind you of the constant perceptual situation you were in, which is discarnate, everywhere at once, all times and futures and places and events are in you and around you, and glossolalia, see, this goes naturally into drug-taking. Drug-taking is an attempt to unleash your racial memories, your collective unconscious, personally and collectively, of your race or whatever, and to mime and create, in a visual sense, with drugs like LSD, to visually recreate the multi-screen, multi-visual, like David Bowie in Man of Fell to Earth. Remember, as an alien, he looked at all those images, and he was able to absorb them. That's a visual metaphor for the experience of LSD. LSD is a movie medium. Now, heroin is more appropriate to our time because it makes you, that rush you get gives you a sense of enveloping the whole environment instantly. The rush, there's no visual imagery. It's just an incredible feeling of encompassing the whole universe. All right? So that would be the more appropriate drug for feeling being in the center of the corporate mixed media glossolalia. All right? Now, I'm not advocating that you take these drugs, but I see people would take drugs as a sympathetic response to trying to feel that middle position.
But do you think, something I read once, that drugs are sort of like a map. They show you where to go, but they don't get you there?
No, they get you there.
They get you there.
But you don't know how to get back.
Get back. That's the problem.
Yeah.
One-way ticket syndrome.
Yeah, or whether you should come back. And, I mean, Leary used to argue about this in the 60s, about, stay high forever or not, you know. But the point is that you're still ingesting and programming your body with drugs. You're still using the old human container, the bag of chemicals, and then putting new chemicals in. But if you realize you have no body, that you already are, in conventional terms, dead, but awake, this is an amazing percept of incarnation and resurrection at the same time. This is what the popular Gnostics mean by the second coming in this phase of our history, is every person becomes Christ-like. But it's not something you do through dogma. They're all controlled by the Gnostics or by the cult of the West, Gnostics being the cult of the East. They're controlled by those priests. Those priests have no say in the matter. You already are making and manifesting the incarnation in terms of the second coming myth now electrically. That's why no prophetic awareness is necessary, no visionary awareness. No awareness is necessary to be an active participant in the global drama, the memory theater, the global memory theater we're involved in. We're rehearsing all pasts because all futures are present, so we can touch on any future by rehearsing any implied past that indicates the direction to that future. Right? So you see, as I'm talking, it sounds like glossolalia, which is the appropriate style of talking because the tongue is obsolete in reference to the mixed corporate media informative nature of the merging of consciousness itself by its extensions and technologies.
it's sometimes hard to reply to Bob, don't you find, Mike?
I don't think it's really even necessary, Doug.
Yeah.
That's right.
It's I tried, and when I started doing this, I was very enthusiastic. I still am, of course, but I just listen. And we all listen, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
And silence does listen. Because that little period of silence was silence itself speaking. Because silence is all sounds together. Like black is all colors. No, that's wrong, what I just said. Black is the absence of all colors. White is the merging of all colors, right? So black is to color, and silence is to sound. So we could say silence is the absence.
Yeah,
I don't know if silence is the absence of sound, is it? It's not really.
No.
It's just a relationship.
Yeah, but it's actually really no thing as silence.
Yeah, there's no particular object of itself. There's only relationships between objects and perception. Do we have a question?
No, just okay. Another confused listener. We've got to wrap things up. We only have a minute, less than a minute, so...
Okay, well...
Can I fit in another question, a quick question? I'm afraid that if you do that, though, it's going to be a five-minute answer, so...
No, I'll do a quick one.
Okay.
Yeah. So, Doug, I'd like to have you replay what I said in your way. I mean, we know it'll be limited, but it's all right.
I find maybe this is more for the listeners. I find when listening to you, I try and pull out, as I said, I think 2 weeks ago, I sort of pull out what you're talking about and I sort of go over it. And so while I'm going over it, some of it goes by. My perceptions aren't. That's why I think the glossolalia is, it's harder for me to understand all of what you say. I understand.
Well, that's speaking in tongues.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that's where I feel, you know, that. And I think it's a quantum leap to go from, I guess to use older terms, to sort of understanding to the gnosis. So I figure right now I'm sort of in the understanding. And the gnosis is, as I say, the quantum leap, but it always seems the inch away.
Yeah, and when you say...
What you're saying about the glossolalia and about the drugs, it seems that people are turning to drugs because they sense that the prophetic voice or the rationale voice is foreign to them and is something that is holding them back. And they seek out this, but as you say, they're using the bag of chemicals, they're using their body. So...
To feel discarnate.
To feel discarnate.
Yeah, they don't have...
And not with discarnate.
Oh, they are discarnate, but they don't know how to make it conscious. Drugs is a way of making yourself conscious of the discarnate in the old human terms, in the old pink terms.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Bob, his voice is the perfect expression, interior and exterior, the inner voice and the outer voice, of the situation we're in. Because slack comes out of Bob's conversations because I do not put any value on at what point you understand me, because you'd only be understanding me in your own internal sub-vocalizing, which is obsolete. But once you realize that this inner voice, the sub-vocalizing, is the agent of intellect and making of consciousness, then you don't have to worry what language you're talking in. It's just the use of the mouth. We're all trying to figure out how to use our mouths without being glossolalia. I think we should end on that point. Do you have anything you want to say?
No. All right, thanks. A different show today. No tape, just talk. And, it worked well, I think.
Yeah, thank you, Mike.
So, two more episodes?
Two more, and then we're on to a new zone.
A new zone. Okay, praise Doug, praise Bob.
Praise Mike.
Bye.
Who shot the Pope?